Today, we want to get back into this message we started last week about how God speaks to us. Now, you know, for several weeks, we were teaching on when God speaks to us and trying to identify when God is speaking to us, because as we said, there are thousands of voices out there, maybe millions of voices. Well, since there's 8 billion people, there's billions of voices, okay? There are many, many voices out there, yet Jesus commanded us personally to hear God's voice, that we should know God's voice, and it's very important. As we said, some people think you're nuts when you say you hear God's voice, but there are certain things that it should be tested, and there are certain things that it should line up with. Of course, it should line up with the written word of God. But again, we said it's always going to honor Christ and things like that. And we did a lot of teaching on that. And that's on our Church of the Promise Facebook page. All those teachings are on there. But now we're talking about how he speaks. So when he speaks, and then now how he speaks. And there are certain things, certain ways, certain avenues in which he speaks. And so Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 says, he humbled you, let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We were intended to live by his word. Our spirit is fed by his word. Our spirit comes alive, and our spirit is strengthened and nourished by his word. But he speaks in different ways. So, of course, Matthew 11:15, Jesus is talking. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so we talked about the fact that God speaks to us by the Spirit. He is Spirit, so he speaks to Spirit. And so we have to really, I mean, I've met so many people over the years that they said a sinner's prayer when they were a child, or maybe go to church all their life and tell me, I have never heard God speak. Well, one or two things are happening there. Either they just have never intuned themselves to hear the Lord speak, or else he was speaking, but they couldn't recognize it, right? And so God, I believe, is speaking all the time. He wants us to hear from him all the time. I tell people about prayer, when I teach about prayer, that, you know, honestly, what we really need to understand about prayer is most of our prayer shouldn't be us blabbing. It should be us listening, right? Prayer is a two-way thing, right? Conversation is a two-way thing. So most of our prayer should be, what are you saying, Lord? Because he's the one with the answers, right? And so I know people, they will labor and labor and labor in prayer for hours and hours and hours, and just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and then never listen. Well, that's kind of rude. So many in the church have become desensitized to the voice of the Spirit. And I believe in this hour, what God is trying to do is get us resensitized to the voice of the Spirit. God wants to speak to us, and he speaks by Spirit. Now listen, we talked about last week, just in quick review, our body is world conscious. It operates completely by the five senses. Okay, so a person that operates that way is no different than an animal. We just do whatever our five senses go after, what we want. It's typically what brings us pleasure and what keeps us alive. Okay. And so it's led by those five senses. Well, anybody can live that way. But then we said, secondly, our soul, the second part of us, the mind, our will, and emotions, is self-conscious. It's always thinking about self. When a person is always thinking about self, that person is not tuned into the Spirit. Because again, our soul, its soul purpose is to keep us alive, to keep us safe. It's all about us. And so apart from the Spirit, we can be very, very selfish. And so what happens is, without the Spirit operating in our lives, we have the body that just wants what it wants, and it dictates to the soul what kind of decisions are going to be made and how it's going to feel and so on and so forth. And then the Spirit has nothing to say about it. But then there is the Spirit, our spirit, who is the real us. So we often say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Right? So the Spirit is God conscious. The Spirit is what hears from God. I've said it often. God doesn't speak to our brains. He speaks to our spirit. Yes, that's the part of us that actually can communicate with him. It's the human spirit that communicates with God. And so that spirit resides deep within us. We talked about the fact that, you know, if I ask you to point to yourself, in fact, we ended service last week, and let's do it again. Everybody point to yourself. Take your finger and point to yourself. Okay, you look around the room, nobody's pointing at their head because your head is not the real you. Your spirit is the real you. That's your identity, and we just know it. We just know it. So I didn't even have to tell people, don't point to your head. Now, every once in a while, you'll have one or two people that might point to their head, but typically, most people are going to point right here, all right? So God wants to speak to us by the Spirit and in the Spirit. When I got born again, when you got born again, if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you and me, and he literally infused us with himself and brought life to my spirit that was dead, pretty much recreated me, right? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so now that Holy Spirit lives inside of me, infused with my spirit, and now I can live my life instead of body, soul, and spirit. I can now live spirit, soul, and body. So now the spirit now is in charge, and it dictates to the soul what it's going to think, how it's going to think, the kind of decisions it's going to make, how I'm going to feel. If it's the other way around, all that's going to be messed up. And then that's going to dictate to my body how I act, how I behave. I'm not going to live like an animal with no self-control, right? But I'm going to live in a way that honors God. So that's how that works. So how the Holy Spirit talks to us. Number one, the witness of the Holy Spirit. And we'll cover a few of these today. But he speaks through the witness of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, if you have any kind of a assurance of your salvation, it's because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, right? Lets us know that we are children of God. That's why I often tell people, if you're always questioning that, if you don't know you're saved, well, then go back, get before the Lord, and get an assurance of your salvation. You know, listen, understand that your salvation is not based on your behavior, but your salvation is based on his grace and your surrender to him. And then it takes a lifetime of continual surrender. We'll say continual repentance. It's an ongoing thing to keep myself in a way that honors God, to find out what pleases him and then do in that thing, right? And so a wit is it's a knowing. I would describe it as a knowing or a spirit connection that God is confirming an answer. It's just, I just know it. Have you ever been around someone and you don't know them, you've never met them, but there's something about them. You know they're a Christian. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ever been around somebody like that? We call that bearing witness. There's just something, you just know it. And it's not necessarily the way they look. It's not necessarily even the way they talk. It's just there's a bearing witness of the Spirit there. It's amazing when that happens. But that's a real thing. And so the witness is a knowing. It's a spiritual connection that God is confirming an answer. It's like a light bulb turned on in our spirit man. And you just suddenly know something. You just know it. And so, you know, when my wife and I graduated from Bible college many years ago, we had offers, all kind of offers to work in several different churches and ministries. And I found it interesting, you know, our graduation, it's almost like scouts. That's the only way I can describe it. It's almost like sporting scouts, you know, whenever they're about to finish college and the different teams are kind of, you know, looking at people. And it was kind of like that. It really felt kind of weird. They had all these different ministries and they had their tables set up and all the reasons why they want you to come and be a part of their ministry and so on and so forth. And we had all of that. Plus, we were working in a church at that time, and it was a wonderful time. It was the Korean United Methodist Church in San Antonio, and which is very interesting because we're not Korean and we're not Methodists, right? But yet, God had us in that place, and he was moving, and it was wonderful. It was incredible. So we were over all of the young people because the parents pretty much could only speak Korean, and the young people were now, you know, in American schools speaking English, and there was a gap there. So they wanted us to come and just kind of be a part, kind of just sort of a go-between. And so we were in charge of all of the young people from, you know, college level all the way down. And God moved in that ministry. It was awesome. So many of these kids got saved. Many of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as they were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, the parents started getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was awesome. And these were the most wonderful, honoring people you ever met in your life. It was incredible. And so when we finished college, they wanted us to stay, and they wanted us to be full-time. They wanted to give us full-time pay to stay and work there. And, you know, the Korean people, for the most part, these people, most of them, like very few of them, of the adults, had anything less than a master's degree, but many of them had, you know, their doctorates and so on and so forth. And here I am, can barely speak English, and they want us there because they see the impact, what's happening to their with their children and their families. And so we're still in contact with many of them today. It's beautiful. Many of them serving the Lord. One of those young men that was in our group, this is a side note, it's incredible. He is today, even today, he's been doing this for many years. He is a worship leader and musician who has literally traveled the entire world. He is the primary number one Korean singer in Christian music. And the Lord uses him very powerfully. He was just a little bitty kid in our group, you know. God did some amazing things. But they wanted us to stay. But yet, I said all that to say, we knew, both Cindy and I knew, God wanted us to come back and just serve in our church. The church that we grew up in was called Lake Charles Revival Center under Pastor Howard Holton. We had all these offers. We had full-time financial full-time offers to do ministry, and yet we both knew in our spirits. No one had told us. No one had prophesied it to us. We just both knew this is what we need to do. Now, we had no idea why. We just knew this is what God wanted us to do. And so the Holy Spirit was just letting us know, bearing witness, and it bore witness. Cindy and I together knew this is what we're supposed to do. Now, we had no idea what we were getting into. We had some hard times ahead, because God was developing us, right? And so, you know, I was feeling pretty good about myself when I got out of Bible college. I mean, I graduated at the top of the class. I had the highest grade average. I had been the president of the class, all kinds of stuff. People loved the music I was writing and singing and all of that kind of stuff. I led our evangelism team, and we were seeing all kinds of miracles and wonderful things. I was feeling pretty good about myself. And God had to take me down a few notches. Yeah, yeah, thank you, Father, for that. Yeah, for sure. So the thing is, it was a wonderful time, but those people at that Korean church, they were so honoring. It was so wonderful. And I remember Pastor Holton telling me while we were there, I was telling him about it. I said, man, this is so wonderful. Ministry is wonderful. It's so awesome. And I remember Brother Holton telling us, he said, you know, it's almost not fair for you to experience that, because at some point you're going to have to come out of that into the real world. I remember him saying that. I had no idea what he was talking about, right? We were there, the little Korean ladies about this tall, and when you'd walk in the room, when I would walk into the room, now I've never had anybody else do this, but when I'd walk in the room, they would do like this. They would bow and they would back up. And they would do like this. The first time that happened, it freaked me out. It's like, what are they doing? But this is what they would do. They just honor, so much honor. Well, how many of you know when everybody's honoring you and you're Mr. Wonderful, that can go to your head? Now, I did have an experience, though, with those same little ladies that would back up and bow and do all, you know, they would fix a meal. Every service, we would eat a meal after service. And boy, I loved the food. But they had this meat called bulgogi, but they always had rice. And I'm a Cajun. So I got to thinking, there's rice and there's meat. Where there's meat, there's bound to be gravy. And I remember going into the kitchen. I didn't know any better. And all these little Korean ladies are in that kitchen. And I'm in there. I'm looking for some gravy. I mean, I got my bowl. And I noticed something, kind of got deep up in there before they noticed. But then next thing I know, they never said a word to me. But one of them bumped me, just kind of. And so I went to move, and another one bumped me. And I went to move, another one bumped me. They bumped me all the way out that kitchen door. Never said a single word. And when I walked out, I told one of the men there, I said, well, that was weird. I said, them ladies bumped me out. He goes, oh, yeah, don't ever go in the kitchen. I said, well, I didn't know that. You should have warned me. But anyway, they were wonderful, and we had every reason in the world, on a fleshly level, just a carnal level, to stay. And God had been moving. It was wonderful. But I've learned this. I've learned if you get out of the will of God, wonderful can turn to miserable real quick, right? So we both knew, we just knew we were supposed to come back and serve in our church. And while we were in that church, we had to go through some things. We had to experience some things. We had people say things about us that wasn't true. We were actually asked to step down from the ministry that we were doing. So God sent us from college, graduating at the top of our class, all these offers for ministry, sent us there to serve and to do it for free and to just whatever they needed. I told them, I'll clean toilets, I'll do whatever you need because this is what God said to do, and asked to step down from any ministry we were doing because of some accusations, right? Well, how many of you know that ain't any fun? But yet, we needed to experience that, and God fixed that. He took care of all of that. We needed to experience that because we needed to learn to stick in and to hang in there no matter how tough it got, because God said, what I got for you to do, you're going to have to be tough, boy. And if you're going to get upset and offended over every little thing, you're going to get your feelings hurt and you're going to run to the next place, you'll never be able to accomplish what I want to do in and through your life. We had to experience that, and then God began to, you know, to move us and do different things, you know, all in his timing and with the pastor's blessing. And so I said all that to say the reason we were there was very simply through the witness of the Holy Spirit. Nobody told us that. Our pastor didn't call and say, would you please come? None of that happened. We just knew this is what we were supposed to do. Now, I will tell you, when it's like that, it can be described as really like a flooding peace. I just knew it. Every time I would think about that, although it made no sense to me, I had a flooding peace. I knew this is what we were supposed to do. Same with Pastor Cindy. And so, but there is such a thing as a positive and a negative witness. And with a negative witness, instead of feeling peace, it's the Holy Spirit warning you, and you'll have this sense of heaviness or dread in your spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ever experienced that? It's some describe it as just a sinking feeling, just concerning what they're hearing. It's just, something's just not right there. Well, I'm going to tell you, when it's like that, you don't move, right? You obey God, right? It's really not a feeling at all. It's really a knowing in your spirit. Whether it's positive or negative, it's a knowing in your spirit. That's that witness of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6b says, and the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Now also, let's go to the second one. God speaks through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now this is very closely tied to the first one there. But the Holy Spirit will give specific revelation knowledge. And I teach this all the time. Revelation, it can't be taught to the brain. It has to be caught by the Spirit, right? Revelation is when I get something in my innermost being. I get it. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. This information, this mystery he's talking about, this is things that people could not understand up till this day, and yet God reveals it to the Apostle Paul. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. First of all, people had no idea who Christ was before he came. They thought he was going to be just some kind of physical Messiah that would rescue them from Rome and so on and so forth, a political Messiah. But he goes on to say, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Up until that time, it had never dawned on the Jewish people that God loves the Gentiles too. The Gentiles were just seen as their enemies. And yet, here is this mystery that God reveals through revelation to Paul, who was a Jew of Jews, right, and reveals to him, I love the Gentiles too. I want the gospel to go to the Gentiles too. I want the gospel to go to everyone. I want everyone to know me, right? Well, nobody got that up until this time. They just didn't. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, for to one is given the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. What he's talking about there is he's actually talking about spiritual gifts and how they operate. And so revelation comes to us, and it's that, you know, the Spirit is speaking through revelation where he's revealing to us what God is saying and what God wants. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. And that's the capital S, the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Well, that's an amazing scripture to me, because what that tells me is that if I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, if I have the Holy Spirit leading me, if the Holy Spirit has infused himself with my spirit, I can literally know the depth of God. Like, I don't have to have just some shallow knowledge and relationship. I can know the deep things of God. I can know what a mere natural man can't possibly grasp. Why? Because it's revelation that has come to my spirit. And then I take that revelation and I renew my mind with it, right? And how many of you know that mind desperately needs to be renewed, because that thing is messed up? Again, I like what Pastor Mike Melay says. When man fell in the fall of Adam and Eve, when he fell right on his head. That thing is, it's damaged, right? So the word of the Lord is simple, but yet the ramifications of it are very profound. And when I get revelation from God, of course, it's always going to line up with Scripture, and it's always going to exalt Christ and those kind of things. But the revelation of the Holy Spirit is really simply knowing the thoughts of God. Although his word declares that his thoughts are higher than ours, yet he invites us to know his thoughts. Well, that can only happen through revelation. Amos chapter 4, verse 13. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. His desire is for us to know his thoughts. Micah 4, 12 says, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. You know why they don't understand? Because they don't want to. They don't really want to know his thoughts. They want to continue to lean to their own understanding. And you know what? We're talking about them, but what about us? How many times do we want to lean to our own understanding? How many times do we want to rationalize why it's okay for me to make the decision that I'm going to make? Let me just tell you this real quickly. I'm telling myself, I'm be transparent here for a moment. Boy, I did something. I missed it. I missed it this last week. So Pastor Cindy and I, we have, you know, as you guys know, you know, we both lost a lot of weight because we changed the way we ate, right? Sugar was a big deal for me. I didn't even realize how much sugar we were consuming, but we were consuming a lot of sugar. And the first clue should have been the cereal and milk every night and the bowl of ice cream. That should have been the first clue. We were consuming too much sugar. So we began to really make changes as a result of that. Both of us lost a lot of weight. But at some point, I kind of plateaued, and then I actually put on about 20 pounds back. And then, now I had lost about 70 or 60, something like that. But then I just kind of plateaued there and just maintaining that weight and still eating pretty healthy, you know, as healthy as we can. Our eating habits have definitely changed. So we were thinking about what is it that I'm doing that's keeping the extra weight on, so on and so forth. And so really the only thing we could figure is, man, I love dairy. I'm all about dairy. Look, my coffee, I love creamy coffee. Now, some of y'all might be black coffee drinkers. I don't know. God will forgive you for that, but but I'm not, right? I'm a coffee milk kind of guy, okay? So what I like in my coffee is half and half, right? And if we don't have half and half, well, I don't have a problem putting heavy cream in it. I mean, I just don't have a problem with that. So here's the deal. I'm getting to this. So we were talking about it, and Pastor Cindy says, well, you know, maybe you ought to lay off the half and half and so much dairy products and all that, and let's see what'll happen. And so she uses a coconut creamer. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. I tell you what, I'll do that. I'll give that a try. Well, I noticed that our coconut creamer was getting a little low. And so I go to the store, and they don't have the coconut creamer. But what they do have is half and half. Okay, now I'm sharing this with you because I want you to see how the process works. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, we're almost out of creamer. I can't use up all of her coconut creamer and her not have any. And so, and we need creamer because I can't drink it black. And so I said, well, you know what? We need creamer. It won't hurt to just go ahead and get one more thing of half and half. So, of course, I didn't get the little one, but one more thing of half and half. So I went and brought that, put that in the refrigerator and all. And then so she opens the refrigerator. That's where we're getting coffee. And she says, what? I thought you weren't going to get half and half anymore. So I tell her my rationalization, my story of, well, you know, we were running out of this and I didn't want to use it all up and I didn't, you know, and we needed creamer and all. That would, how many of you know that didn't work with her? And so I said, well, you know, we needed the creamer and we needed, so her reaction was, she said, but you said that you weren't going to do that. And I didn't say anything because she was right. And I think I shrugged my shoulders or something like that. And then she said, you lied to me. You lied to me. And you know what? You need to care enough about yourself where I shouldn't have to tell you these things. Don't you hate it when they're right? I mean, you know, I do. I hate it when she's right like that. But why am I telling you this? Because that's just half and half. That's not, you know, it's not, we're not talking about crack. We're not talking about some kind of immorality. We're talking about, so here's the thing. It's very important that even on the little things, we listen and we heed what he says. Because to be honest with you, I had rationalized why it was okay, even though I had given my word. And I want to tell you, the enemy knows exactly how to use that rationalization. And so this is what she told me. She said, if I can't trust you to keep your word on these little things, how can I be secure that you're going to keep your word on bigger things? Well, you know what? It shouldn't have been my wife that had to say that. I should have heard the Holy Spirit who was trying to tell me that. Does anybody else need to repent of half and half? Come to the altar. So here's the point. You know, most people would think, oh, that's just, you know, no big deal. Well, no, it was a big deal. It was a big deal to me. Right? Because I disobeyed what I believe the Lord wanted me to do, and I used rationalization to make it okay. And boy, we better deal with that because this is the problem of humanity, right? And it's the problem of many of God's people as well. So Psalm chapter 139, verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. You know, we really need to get to that place where we really do see his thoughts as precious. Not something that's trying to keep me from having a good time or good tasting coffee. But his thoughts are precious because they're always for our good. Always. All right, so understand we can know the thoughts of God. And that is an amazing thing to me that we can know the thoughts of God. But what that does for me is it also lets me know that I have no excuse to be ignorant. No excuse to act stupidly. I have no excuse because his thoughts have literally been made available to me. And his thoughts will never lead me the wrong way. So the Holy Spirit will speak with us in this way through revelation. Here's a good thing to do. This is something the Lord just kind of dawned on me. You know, we need, I think, from time to time, we need to actually fast from our thoughts. You know, we can fast from food, but we need to, I think, fast from our thoughts. You know what I mean by that? I mean, we lean to our own understanding all the time. So when I start to lean to my own understanding, what I need to do is catch myself and say, you know what? I think I'm going to fast from them thoughts. In fact, I believe if we were to fast from our thoughts for about 3 days, it would change our lives. We would be totally different if we begin to embrace his thoughts, not our thoughts. Embrace his thoughts. Lord, what are you saying? What do you want to say to me right now? Embrace his thoughts and fast from our own. I'm telling you, it'll change us. And we need to do it fast. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own. Boy, we ought to really get a hold of that. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is Jesus himself talking, and he's talking about in his human state, I can do nothing as a human. I can do nothing on my own. But as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus' secret to success, if you want a secret to success, is he listened to the Father. And he did what the Father said to do, and he said what the Father said to say. That is your secret to success. I've heard a lot of pastors preaching on all these different secrets to success. Look, here it is. Shut down your own thoughts and embrace his. Amen. And you will succeed in anything that's important. So God's thoughts are higher than ours, but they are obtainable. And that's an amazing thing. Of course, we use this scripture before, but Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." So if that is the truth, then why would I not want to embrace his thoughts and his ways? Why would I settle for what this broken, messed up thing right here can do? It can come up with some stuff, but it's not going to be anything like what God's thoughts are. Amen? So he speaks simply, but the revelation to our inner man is very, very profound. Now, we're going to give you one more, and we're going to close it down. God also speaks through the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. I've said this for years, but if we're going to live for God, then we need to do it his way. We need to do what he says to do the way he says to do it. And it's very important we understand it's not just doing what he says, but it's doing it his way, right? People can worship, but they can do it their way, and it ends up not even being worship. Y'all understand? The children of Israel made a golden calf, and they worshiped it, and they even called it Yahweh. But they weren't worshiping the way God prescribed to worship, so it wasn't worship. And so the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit is so important. How many of you have ever been to a place where you're like, "God, I just don't know what to do"? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever been there. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this situation. I want to tell you, there is an instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. He will tell you what to do, and if you do it his way, he'll make it work the way it's supposed to work. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us with his voice, and sometimes, understand, sometimes it's a still small voice. Now, we talked about this, I don't know, last week or week before that, but sometimes it's a small voice because we have ignored him so much that we can't hear him anymore. And we get to the point where I can barely hear him speaking. But it's because we just ignore him. We ignore him till we get to a place where we have a seared conscience where we can't even hear from him anymore because we've done it our way instead of listening to him. And that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. And you can be a born-again Christian but continue to ignore his voice till you get to a place where there's no more guilt. You don't feel guilty anymore. So somehow you feel like, "Oh, well, I'm just free to do this. I'm free to keep doing this because I don't feel any guilt." Well, no, the problem is you have seared your conscience, Couillon. It's a dangerous place to be. So the best thing you can do is go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, restore my conscience. I repent of doing it my way. I want to hear from you." So sometimes that voice is small. Now, the other time that voice is small is sometimes because God is really just trying to draw you closer. He speaks in that still, small voice because he wants you to get close to him, because it's not just about speaking, it's about relationship. And you got to know the difference. So Acts chapter 10, verse 19 through 20, "And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them.'" Now, what I'm drawing your attention to is the fact that this was an instructive voice. The Holy Spirit was actually telling him to do something. And this is so important. Again, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, usually, not always, but usually he's also going to tell you how to do it. Don't tune him out until you get the how-to, right? So, you know, how many of you have ever been driving and the Holy Spirit leads you? Has this ever happened to anybody? Instead of the way that you normally go, the Holy Spirit says, "Go this way instead." Has that ever happened to anybody? Sure, it happens from time to time. I've had that happen to me on a few occasions where it was, you know, the Holy Spirit telling me to go a specific way because there was a mission on that on that other way. There was somebody I was supposed to meet. There was something that was supposed to happen that I would have missed out on had I not listened to the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes I have listened and sometimes I have not. And any time that I have not, I've always lived to regret it. Sometimes that's just the way it is. He gives instruction and he expects us to do it exactly how he said to do it. Sometimes it's more a commanding voice. Sometimes it's not just a quiet voice, but it's a commanding voice. And the reason it's commanding is because you don't have time to play around. Sometimes you don't have time to even question. It's a commanding voice. I remember when I was a kid, I was a teenager, I was young, but I was at a friend's house. And again, I've told this story before, but it so impacted me. His dad was underneath a car, working on a car, had the car up on a jack, and his youngest son goes crawling up underneath the car, and he hollers at him, he said, "Get out from under here!" And the kid wanted to argue, "But why, Daddy? What? Get out from under here! But why, Daddy?" And before he could even get it out of his mouth, his daddy kicked him. I mean, he was doing everything he could, but he ended up reaching over and kicking that kid, kicked him right in the head, and kicked him hard enough to knock him out from under that car. And I was wondering, why is he being so mean? But he kicks him and then rolls out from under the car as quickly as he can, just as the car falls. So the dad knew something the kid couldn't understand. The dad knew something, and he had to kick the kid to get him out from under the car. Tell somebody, don't make God kick you in the face. That's gonna hurt. And it did hurt him. But you know what? He saved his life. So there are times when, with that instructive voice of the Lord, man, it needs to be instant and unconscious obedience. Your life may depend on it, or somebody else's life may depend on it. So again, sometimes it's a more of a commanding voice. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" So the Holy Spirit told them, it gave them a command to do this. And thank God that they listened, because the Apostle Paul, listen, he could not legitimately go out until the spiritual authority sent him out that God had set in place. But they sent him out, and as a result of that, you and I are sitting here today, because he reached the known world of his day with the gospel. He wrote penned two-thirds of the New Testament that you and I have. Thank God they listened. Now, the Holy Spirit will speak to us typically, again, in our spirits and not audibly, like on a physical level, to our physical ears, because he's, again, not speaking to our brains. He's speaking to our spirits. But there are times I've experienced where it sounded audible. I don't believe it was a natural thing, but it was so loud in my spirit that it sounded audible. And so when Paul heard an audible voice, or what seemed to be an audible voice, you know, he was not saved yet. So there are times when, like when Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Right? He wasn't saved. He couldn't hear God with his spirit, so all he had was his brain. So it's possible that somebody may hear an audible voice, but for you and me who have the Spirit of God, typically that's not how God's going to speak to us. I want to just share an experience with you that I had, and we're going to close it up right here. But understand, it was the person of Jesus himself who spoke to Paul. It wasn't even the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus himself speaking to Paul. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us, to our spirit. Now, I was riding a motorcycle. Again, I've told this story. There's been many times in my life where I needed to hear the instructive voice of the Lord, and I didn't have time to toy around with it. And years ago, I used to ride a motorcycle. And so I'm going down, never forget, I'm going to school on this motorcycle with my buddy who stayed with us, coming with me, came to school with me, and he was riding on the back of my motorcycle. I'm going behind an 18-wheeler that's carrying wood. And I heard this voice so clearly say, "Move over into the left lane." I really thought it was my friend on the back of the motorcycle. And so I move over to the left lane, and as soon as I move over, a board flies off of the back of that truck. That board would have hit us, probably killed us. But it was just that quick. I heard it. It was very clear. I moved over. When we got to school later, I asked him about it. He said, "No, I didn't say anything. I just moved over, and I saw the board fly off the truck. I'm glad you moved over." And so, but then another time, I'm coming down the interstate. It's at night, about midnight. I'm coming home from work, and I'm on 210. There's three lanes, not 210, I-10, and there's three lanes, and I'm coming up on a curve. Well, just before that curve, I hear that same voice. I recognized it, and there's been many times since where I've had to recognize that voice and act immediately. But I recognize he said, move into the right lane. And so I remembered that board flying off that truck, and there's no truck in front of me, right? But I instantly moved to the right lane, and just as I get over into the right lane, I come across a huge pipe that was across the left lane and the center lane. I don't know if you know anything about hitting a pipe on a motorcycle on the interstate, but it wouldn't be good, right? And it was kind of at a slant, so I could just imagine that thing turning my wheel and, you know. So here's the thing. Sometimes I believe that the Lord, in a desperate situation, will speak very forcefully and very commanding, and it may even sound like an audible voice, but I do believe it's still something that's resonated in our spirit that sounds so real we think it's audible. But I want to tell you, thank God for his instructive voice, because that instructive voice will get you out of some messes. The instructive voice of the Holy Spirit will get you into places that you need to be and keep you out of places that you don't need to be. Amen. There have been many times in my life when I was going to do something and I heard the instructive voice of the Lord say, don't do it. Don't go there. Go here instead. Do this instead. Make this decision instead. Right? Thank God for the instructive voice. I believe, personally, that if we all tuned our ear to that and we really listened to the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit, life would be so much better. There have been times in my life when I didn't listen. And like I said, I've always lived to regret. One of those times, I remember, I rationalized because, you know, I knew I was taught. My mom had taught me. I grew up in church. I knew about tithing, understood about tithing. Anybody that knows me knows I'm not about the money. That's not what we're about. But I am about pleasing God and serving God and listening to God. But I rationalized that day. We can't afford it. Can't afford to do it. And so I didn't. And can I tell you, it had to be the worst week of my entire life. God says, okay, you want to do it your way. I don't think God got mad and was throwing a fit and, you know, throwing lightning bolts down and doing all he had to do. All God did was he said, okay, if you want to do it your way, then I'm going to let you do it your way. You don't even realize how much I'm shielding and covering you. And so I think sometimes God will just kind of move his hand back just a little bit. And I want to tell you, it was the worst week of my life. Both of our vehicles broke. Both. And nobody could figure out. We didn't have Kevin we could take it to who knows something. We went to I don't know how many different mechanics who took all our money and didn't fix the problem. This is all happening in 1 week. Our air conditioner went out. Our hot water tank went out. My daughter got poison ivy. She looked like a monster. I've never seen anything like that. So she had to go to the doctor. Well, both dogs, I'm not exaggerating, both of my dogs got ran over. And it was so bad, I was at a point, I was really upset because one of them lived. Because now I got to take it to the vet. I'm telling you, yeah, it's like the worst country song ever. This all happened. And I lost my job. I'm not exaggerating. All in the same week. Man, I did some repenting big time. I had to do some serious repenting. Now, God worked it all out in the end. But I learned something. I better not rationalize, but I better obey God. Okay. Again, it's not like God was mad. No, God wasn't mad. He wasn't trying to, you know, he wasn't beating me up. He was just letting me reap some of the consequences of my own stupid decision. And people do that all the time, and then they get mad and they blame God. Listen to the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. Do what he says to do. You can't go wrong. Amen. And again, when God is speaking, remember from that whole series, the last series we did, if he really is speaking, it's always going to be in line with those principles that we talked about. And so, you know, there are times when I've heard people say, God told me to say this or God told me to do this. And I'm like, that doesn't bear witness. I don't think that's God. Well, I know it's God. I'm going to do it. Okay, well, you know, have you really checked it out with the word? Have you tested this thing? Have you? And typically people do what they want to do. And so there's always consequences to that. Well, I want to ask today, if there's anyone in the room, if you've not surrendered your life completely to Jesus, I want to just give you an opportunity to do that. And this is, I don't care if you're 100 years old or if you're just a little kid, if you've never said yes to Jesus and surrendered your life to him, I just want to invite you to do this. I'm going to pray, but I'm going to invite you to do this before you leave today. I'm going to ask you to just, you know, come up and meet me and just pray with me. It doesn't even have to be right now, But if you want to surrender your life to Jesus before you leave today, I'll make myself available. Come and meet me, and I want to pray with you, and I want to get you started on that journey. If you're here and you say, yep, that's me, I want to continue to tune my ear in to the Lord. I really want to hear him, and I want to have the grace to obey that instructive voice. Why don't we just lift our hands to the Lord right now, and let's just surrender to him. Father, I thank you for every person in this room today. It's no accident that anyone is here today. You've appointed them to be here. Father, I thank you that you do speak to us. Lord, that you do communicate with us. You long for us to hear your voice. Lord, you commanded that we hear your voice. And God, I pray for every person here, continue to tune us in to your voice, to hear you. Lord, to know how you speak, God, and to recognize it when you do, Father, and to obey. Lord, to live our lives in a way that brings honor and glory to you, Father. Lord, I thank you that you are trying to tune your church in. You are trying to tune your people into your voice, God, because we know time is short. We know time is ticking away very, very quickly, God, and we know that we're coming to times where we'll desperately need to hear your voice. Lord, we don't want to lean to our own understanding. Father, we don't want to lean to our own emotional feelings. Lord, we don't want to lean to our flesh, but Father, we want to lean into the Spirit, and we want to hear from you, Father, because we know there's life there. And so I thank you for helping us. Tune in, Father. This week, God, this week, Lord, I thank you. Yeah, I know you're going to give us an opportunity this week to practice what we've heard today. Help us to be faithful through your grace, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, I pray draw them by your Spirit, Lord. Make yourself known to them, O God, and continue to draw them until they surrender. And we give you praise and thanks for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.